Billy Maguire here in Kappa, outside Limerick. Your story about your grandparents is fascinating, all coming from Vaughan's Hotel.
That's right.
Can you give me the background to Vaughan's Hotel and your people? Were they actually in the Irish Examiner? Was the Irish Examiner,
Cork Examiner.
Okay, it was known then as the Cork Examiner.
Yes.
Did they...
That was the family business as well. They owned that as well.
So can you talk to me about that first?
Well, they were traders. They were very large traders. They were originally from Fermanagh. And we owned a Fermanagh, Loch Earnon, and the River Shannon to the estuary of the Atlantic. And that's why our mills, Corrigar Mills, are on the Shannon. And we also had trade in London, Maguire Street and Maguire's Wharf. It's down near London Bridge. So we traded out of Southwark. And we can, our records go back, our bills of lading go back. We traded with the Roman Empire and in Roman Britain when they were there from Southwark. You'll see our the Maguire Wharf and Street. And we traded salt. As you know, salt is the Roman armies were paid in salt. Salt is your salary and that. And I believe if we're not the oldest, we're one of the oldest salt merchants on record. And we're still trading salt.
And what are the circumstances that led to the Irish Examiner or the Cork Examiner's newspaper?
Well,
being bought by them or being started by them?
Well, this, John Francis Maguire, he founded the Cork Examiner. And Crosby was his editor. And then when he went into politics and that, he couldn't carry on the business. So what he did was he gave it to old Crosby for 10 shillings a week as a pension for his widow. That's how the Crosbys hold the Cork Examiner. And to honour the old Catholic and national traditions of the paper and for a united Ireland. You know, these, and the GA, of course, was the big thing, the Sam Maguire and the Lee McCarthy Cups. See, they were members of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And that's how we always operate. My father was president, and then I inherited from him. And it's the Irish Republican Brotherhood who founded the state, the Sovereign Republic of Erin. And what's very important, in London, I believe we had 50,000 members in London of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And you see, by controlling the oats trade in London, you know, all those carriages, before the trains I'm talking about, you could go from London to the north of Scotland in 24 hours, and you could send a message or, you know, papers or secret papers or documents on those coaches, because we were very much involved. We fed all the horses.
The Fenian movement before that.
Well, the Fenian Brotherhood.
Did they emerge from that, really?
Exactly. The Fenian Brotherhood is the sister organisation of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and they were founded by John O'Mahony for America, and they opened, you know, America, they lobbied for St. Patrick's Day, they opened the White House for St. Patrick's Day, and very interesting, you know, it was James Stephens founded the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and they worked hand in hand, and the five, I went about the seals and that, you know, five is the Fenian Brotherhood strings on the harp, six is the Irish Republican Brotherhood, but very important, if you bring it up to date, Brendan O'Regan, whose brief it was to build a factory in Shannon and in every little town and village in Ireland, and that's what the Fenian Brotherhood in America, that's where all that came from. They lobbied in America, and they're still lobbying in America.
Okay.
And Friends of Irish Freedom in America, James Maguire was chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom in America, and they collected all the money, you know, for 1916 and that. So those links are still there, and they still, on the 21st of January, they still celebrate our sovereignty. You know, as you know, we turned the sovereign seals and that.
But talk to me about, yes, raising money for the rising.
Well, as you know, first of all, we have to say that about 1913, the Irish Republican Brotherhood were looking for volunteers to collect the intelligence on the Crown Forces and on the RIC. Mm-hmm. And my granduncle James Tom and my grandfather, they got involved. And Tom, all his life, since he was a child, he studied military matters. He could speak five languages. He went to Clongowes College, and he was being educated to open a bank in London for our international businesses. And that's what he was being educated for. James went. He went to school. My grandfather and granduncle went to Clongowes College, and my grand-aunts and my granduncle James, they went to London on their ships to school. And that's, I told you about James McGuire in America. They came from America on our ships to school to Limerick and to school in Clongowes College in the 1800s. Can you imagine going to school by ship? They had a house in London down in Southwark. That's where they lived. They were on old London bridges where they traded in 1200. And then in Southwark, that's where they lived. And so they used to go to school there. And they understood, you know, the trade and the British legal system and how Britain worked. Mm-hmm. And that was crucial.
But the whole fundraising thing, I mean, he was very involved in that, your granduncle.
They were. James was the one who ran the international business. And he was the one who financed, you know, 1916. And then the
financed
war.
Financed it in what way now?
Well, I told you, the Irish Republican Brotherhood were looking for volunteers. It was known as the Circle and the Cell. And Sam McGuire and Tom McGuire, they volunteered to collect the intelligence on the Crown Forces. And Tom McGuire, he as I said, he was educated. He spoke five languages. He trained himself, that, you know, that he could remember. Everything you said, he'd remember it. Mm-hmm. And he'd tell you, he'd a wonderful, you know, people, you know, that sense intellect.
Recall.
He could have total recall, and he had a photographic mind. If you showed him a map or anything, he could tell you. He could come into this room and he'd say, you've moved the dresser, or you've moved something or other since I was here last. So you could say, oh no, you didn't tell me that on the 6th of March. It was the 7th of March or something, or you told me that. It was that, you know, I didn't know him, but I'm the last member of the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood left alive. So I would have known that from sitting in. I sat in since 1950, and when I was seven. But Tom and Sam, anyway, Sam, he got into the post office in London because, as you know, he was Church of Ireland and he was educated for the British Civil Service. And Tom went off and he joined the Essex Regiment in Calcutta in India. And, of course, he was only in it what he wanted to be. He just joined as an ordinary soldier, the lowest form of life. And, of course, the minute he joined, the officers and the men saw the potential in him. And he was made immediately, he was made a sergeant. And that's what he wanted. Because the sergeant is the most important man in the army, because all the soldiers depend on him. And all the officers who...
So coming up through the ranks and...
The officers depend on him too. A lot of those officers just bought their commissions in the British Army and they wouldn't know anything about war. And he'd studied. He's known as the greatest expert on guerrilla warfare. So he collected all the intelligence. And the Indian Brotherhood and the Egyptian Brotherhood and all those brotherhoods, they were all part of that. And all that intelligence came to Sam McGuire's desk in the post office in London. So every Saturday, Sam headed for Dublin to Vaughan's Hotel. Now, we didn't own Vaughan's Hotel at that time.
Who owned the hotel?
Mrs. Vaughan. And they had rooms in Vaughan's Hotel as the secret headquarters. Now, they had other offices around Dublin and around the country as well as they had them in London and that. But the secret headquarters was in Vaughan's Hotel. And... So he came every Saturday with all that intelligence, and that's how they got all that, you know, for the, you know, Kilmichael and Crossbarry and Drumkeen.
That's leading up to the Rising, though.
Yeah, but the Rising, you see, you must understand, the Rising wasn't the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and I knew Bulmer Hobson very well, who's, you know, he lived in Castleconnan, and his daughter still lives in Castleconnan. And I knew him very well, and I knew all these people because they all came to Willowbank, was the headquarters, and that's down where the university is, and we can tell you, we'll talk about that. But it was important because, you know, collecting the intelligence was the whole, that was what it was about. And the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and you'll see that they wanted the will of the people, they wanted the people, and they were aiming for the 32-county election of 1918 to have the rising. That's basically what they were doing. And you hear Owen McNeill saying, oh, it shouldn't have happened on the Sunday, and they cancelled it and this. In actuality, what really happened was that it took off before they were actually ready. It wasn't destined for Easter Sunday or Easter Monday.
1916?
Yeah, no, it was never. And that's a fact. And you hear that, you know, Owen McNeill talking about the Irish Republican Brother, they hadn't actually set the date. What the date was going to be the 32-county election of 1918. Mm-hmm. And that's a crucial date, because that the people, you would have had the will of the people on that date. And that's why we had to buy Vaughan's Hotel. So what happened was, the rising started.